me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. First chapter of the book of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Grace and the peace comes from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be His name. Who hath blessed us? That's past tense. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? Now it has been said, and I've said it myself, but I was dead wrong in saying it. But many people say it. They say that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased with His blood on Calvary's tree the blessings now enjoyed by His people. Now that's what is commonly taught and said, and what I have said in times past, that Jesus Christ Himself purchased with the shedding of His blood on the tree the blessings now enjoyed by His people. Did He? No. He purchased no blessings for His people. Christ on the tree, suffering in our stead and place and room, establishing righteousness, honoring, magnifying the law, enduring the wrath of the justice of God against our sins in His own body, hath not purchased the blessings that we now enjoy. He purchased no blessings for His people. Stay with me now. Listen to me. I'll tell you what He really did. He purchased His people. That's who He purchased. He purchased His people. He paid the debt that His people owed. He purchased His people. He set the captive free. He purchased His people to enjoy the blessings and benefits, listen now, conferred upon His people in Himself before the world ever was. That's what He did. He purchased His people that they might enjoy the blessings that were theirs in Him before time ever was. You see that? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, here in the book of 2 Timothy, let me read this in connection with that. Chapter 1, verse 9. Now, I don't want you to believe anything because I say it. But if the Word of God says it, then you're bound to believe it. You're bound to believe it. You've got no choice in the matter. You'll be either obedient to the Word or disobedient. So Just because I say something don't make it so. If it cannot be proven by the Word of God, then it's not so. Now listen to me again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling? Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. Keep in mind now, this is what I'm talking about. He purchased no blessings on the tree for His people, but He purchased His people to enjoy the blessings and benefits given unto them in Christ before the world ever was. All spiritual blessings. How many? All of them. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Blessed be the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, it's already taken place. It's already taken place. It took place in the purpose of God before time ever was. He died in our stead, not to purchase these blessings. The blessings were already in Him before the world was. He died in our place so we might enjoy these blessings. He called us by His gospel. And I told you this morning, they all shall be taught of God. They'll be taught and they'll enjoy these blessings of a covenant God who purposed in Himself to do these things for His people that He'd chosen. And He does them all in Christ Jesus. It's all in Christ. Everything's in Him. There's nothing outside of the Lord Jesus. Don't bring me any doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ is not the all in that doctrine. I won't have nothing to do with it. It's useless as far as I'm concerned. Christ is all and in all. How many blessings? All spiritual blessings in Christ. Covenant blessings can never fail. Each blessing with which I was blessed in Christ before the foundation of the world has been mine since God gave me a creature existence and a new creature existence in Christ Jesus. Those that are in Christ are new creatures, new creation, heavenly people. Them's been mine since I've had being, and especially since I became a new Christ, new creature in Christ Jesus. Mine. Listen, He gave. He did not sell. Look here again in the book of 1 Timothy. Or 2 Timothy, maybe it is. Yeah, that's the same verse I read to you before. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us. He didn't sell it to us. It wasn't dependent upon our merit. It wasn't conditioned upon anything. It was given to us when? In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, before the world began. Given. didn't earn it, didn't pay for it. It wasn't a certain condition that you must meet. It was before the world began. That's what it says. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God purposed all of this before the world began. Before there was any worlds, Christ had, or God had a purpose. And all of His purposes He fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said years ago that God put all of His eggs in one basket. And that basket is Christ. He gave. He did not sell. This scripture that I read to you here, this portion in itself, by itself, is solid proof of God's liberality as the bestower and the giver, without condition, without requirement, without service, without merit, all as a matter of mercy. Given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 32. Listen to what it says. He that spared not His own Son, God so loved us that He gave His Son, that He sent His Son, that He commissioned His Son, that He anointed His Son. He that spared not His own Son, God didn't spare the Son of His love. Someone said, well, couldn't we be saved by being good? Well, if we could be, why is it that it says that He that spared not His own Son? If we could be saved by being good, trying to be good, thinking good things, doing good things, if we could be saved that way, if we could be saved by baptism or church membership or our conduct being the way it ought to be, if we could be saved on the basis of what we are, what we do, what we say, what we think, basis of our merit, basis of our... If we could be saved that way, how come it says, He that spared not His own Son? That'd be something, wouldn't it? We could be saved some other way if God had decided to do it that way, but He said, no, I'm just going to send My Son and let Him suffer. Let Him die. Let Him bleed. Let Him be despised and rejected. A man acquainted with grief. Man that's full of sorrows. No, God would not have, He would not have done that. If we could have been saved any other way. You can't be saved any other way. You can't be. It's an impossibility. The only way a man can be saved is by and through the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's going to bear our shame and our guilt. He's going to pay what we owe. He's going to satisfy the inflexible justice of God Almighty. God's justice don't bend. God's justice says the soul that sinneth, that soul shall die the second death, go to hell, and still can't pay the debt. After you've been in hell 10 million years, you got 10,000,100 years to go. Nobody ever come out of hell. They're still there. The debt can't be paid. Only by the Son of God. So, dispense from your thinking right now that there's going to be mercy shown to you at that great day of judgment. God's going to look upon you with pity and mercy. He's not. God's not going to show no mercy. Man that despises his son has got to stand by himself. If he will not have the Lord Jesus Christ, God won't have him. The only way he can be saved is by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. He that spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, with Christ, freely give us all things? Huh? Freely give us all things. Who's the us? The us is the election of grace, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and the grace that was given us in Christ Jesus before the world ever was. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about every man, woman, boy, or girl that was ever born in the human race. He's talking about us. Remember I told you here not too long ago about in the book of Exodus where God said to Moses, I'm going to put a difference. I'm going to put a difference between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And I told you, remember, if God hath made a difference, we are bound to inquire, what is that difference? What is the difference in that case that I have brought before you here, the Egyptians and the Israelites? What's the difference? The difference is life and death. He gave life to the Israelites and he gave death to the Egyptians. Life and death. That's a difference. Huh? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Us. That's all the election of grace, all the redeemed of the Lord, all the justified by the Father, all the called of God. He did not freely give us some things and then let us earn the rest of them by our merit. Oh no, he freely gave us all things. All things. You know why this is so difficult for the average religionist to lay hold of? Because it's all for nothing. It's not conditioned upon anything. And the religionist, the natural man, who names the name of Christ but yet is dead in trespasses and in sins, he has hammered in his very soul the idea that he can earn his entitlement to God's heaven. And this giving all of God. Remember I read to you in 1 Corinthians there about not many mighty, not many noble are called. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. If you had, or myself, had the least thing to do in the matter of these choice blessings and favors that pertains to God's salvation, if there was one condition that we met that would entitle us to it, we would certainly pinpoint that and brag and boast about it. But if we're shut up, all we can do is praise Him from whom all blessings flow in Christ Jesus. He did not freely give us some things and leave us to earn or to buy the rest. No, He'd give us all things. Do I believe? I believe. I believe the gospel. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust Him. That's faith. That's faith. I trust Him. Why do I trust Him? I remember when I made a profession of faith, there was a fellow that sat right beside me, and he heard what I heard, but it was of no effect to him. I was upset. My heart was heavy. I didn't know where to turn. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that. I knew it. And I knew that unless something took place, I was a gone Jesse. But that fella, he wanted, when we left the building and started down the street, he wanted to talk about something else. But my mind wasn't on something else. I believed. I trusted the Savior. He caused me to see my need of a righteousness that would meet the requirements of His demands. And I seen that righteousness in Jesus Christ my Lord. And I believed. I believed. I was like that poor sinner that says, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." But I believe. Now, turn with me over here in the book of Philippians, I believe. Chapter 1 and verse 29, first chapter. Listen to what it says. I told you that I believe, and you out here, at least some of you, have the same testimony that I have. You say, "I believe. He alone's my salvation. He's my righteousness. He's my obedience. He's my sin bearer. All I have and hope to have, I owe to Him. All praise and honor and glory belongeth to the Lamb that God sent, the Lamb that took away my sins." You have that testimony. You say, "Well, I believe." All right, listen to this. Verse 29, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ," or for the sake of Christ, "not only to believe on Him." It's given. It's given. "For unto you it is given for the sake of Christ to believe on Him." You believe? You believe? Certainly, you say. Well, it's given unto me in behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ to believe on Him. You suffer for Him. Then it is given unto you not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer. If you can suffer in silence, it was given to you by God to suffer for His sake and to believe. Those that believe, God gives them faith. Faith is not of yourself, lest any man should boast. Faith is a gift of God. It's that which God gives. He gives it to you. The promise of the Lord Jesus is that all the Father giveth me shall come to me. You come to Him, believing and trusting in Him. And it's of God. It's a gift of God. It's by the measure of faith, the gift of Christ. Well, do you repent? Or have you repented of your sins? Are you sorry for what you once was, and things that you once did, and how you acted, and all that? You say yes. Well, look over here in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. I think verse 31. It says, well, this is Peter, verse 29. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. He said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Now listen to this. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sin. Repentance, what is it? It's Christ's gift exercised in me. It's the gift of faith, the gift of repentance. It's me believing, but I believe because he gave me the gift of faith. I repent because he exercised repentance in me. See? Given of God. Every gift of grace pertains to the matter of salvation is a gift given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And Christ purchased us on the tree. Not purchased the blessings, but he purchased us in order that we might enjoy these gifts that was given us in Christ before the world began. Do I pray? Yes, I pray. Not like I ought to, but I pray. I pray. Listen, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Do I pray? Listen. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know. Do I pray? Yes, I pray. But the Spirit does the effectual praying. It says, but the Spirit itself, third person of the Trinity, God's Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Well, whatever I am in and to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am by the will and the work of the Father. It's all a gift of God. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If I can find it. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, I believe it's 3 to 5. Listen to what it says. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. Grace and peace from God our Father. From the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you. Not paid to you. You didn't earn it. The grace of God which is given to you by Christ Jesus. Now, most of the religion that I know anything about, and I certainly keep up on what preachers preach and what churches preach and what they believe and so forth. I read in the paper, read in books, magazines, every article that I'm aware of that has anything to do about religion. And I've come to this conclusion that religion, for the most part, almost 100%, teaches that grace is given unto us in the baptismal fountain, in the baptismal pool. And that's the reason why so many religionists have all their children sprinkled. Because they think that grace is conferred on the account of that sprinkling in the baptismal pool. Look again. Grace given you. What I read to you. Grace called to the saints in every place. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by the Apostle Paul, which is given you by Peter, which is given you by the College of Cardinals, which is given you by the bishops, which is given you by all the disciples put together and as one. No, sir, it doesn't say that. Where does it say this grace come from? For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Huh? Oh, my soul, it's so. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. I'm going to quit there. I just wanted to call these few things to your attention here this evening. That the blessings that we enjoy were given to us. If we be believers, the election of grace, those blessings were given to us in Christ before the world began. And when the Lord Jesus Christ died, He purchased our redemption that we might enjoy the blessings that was given us by a covenant God according to His will and purpose as it pleased Him before the world began. And everything that pertains to the matter of salvation is given to us by God. Even our praying, even our repenting, even our believing is given unto us by God. What does that make us? Certainly that makes us debtors to God Almighty. And that is incentive or motive enough to cause us to commit ourselves to Him in the propagating of this good news that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, in whom I am chief. That's who He saves, sinners. His people, prior to them being called, were dead in trespasses and in sin. Children of wrath, even as others. Remember I told you this morning about that but. Listen. He tells us the base things of this world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But. See, there's that but. I said the but that comes from the mouth of God is always a forerunner of a great and tremendous blessing. And here it is. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. And then there in the book of Ephesians, there's another but. In Ephesians chapter 2, let me read this. It says, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, where in times past," talking about us, talking about the elect of God, talking about people who are saved in time, "dead in trespasses and sins, prior to God quickening them, prior to God calling them." They're dead, 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 dead. What did they do? What good's a dead man? Huh? What good is a dead man? What do you do with a dead man? Huh? You don't set him up in the chair and put a strap around him, hold him up there, and walk by him every day. You know what you do with a dead man? You put him out of your sight. You mourn. And then comes a time when you put them out of your sight. You know how you put them out of your sight? You bury them. Put them in the ground. Put the dirt over them. They're dead. They're gone. They're useless to you. The only thing you got is their memories. Dead, dead. We're dead in trespasses and in sins. Now listen, where in times past, this is the way we used to be. You walked according to the course of this world. You walked just like worldly people. You talked like them. You acted like them. According to the course of this world, according to the devil, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's us. These are the elect of God. Before regeneration, before calling, this is their nature. And I told you, when there is a but that comes from the mouth of God, that but is a forerunner of a tremendous blessing. Now listen, verse 4. But God. See, told us what we were. How we acted, how we talked, what we thought, what we were by natures. Enemies, enmity against God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Now listen to this. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together, all of us, the elect of God, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Have you ever been there? If you're one of the elect of God, you've been there. He hath already done it. Made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Huh? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Let's stand. Be dismissed.